This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented to you by Kutt. Kutt is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head to Kutt.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em chance for a time for a chance to win 100 times your money in the NBA, MLB, NHL, NBA, and more. Sign up today using promo code GOLFSGPN to get 100% deposit match. And we're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game odds. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Good evening, everybody. It's your boy, Boston Capper, with the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer. We're here late on a Tuesday to talk about the Valero Texas Open. Steve, how are you, buddy? I know you just did Brian's pod.
I'm doing good. I'm, a little bit running on fumes right now. I feel like my voice is going to blow any given moment. But we actually do have two shows tonight. We will talk about the Valero, which I am already sick of talking about this week, spending two shows talking about it, a preview show for a tournament that I ultimately think is probably the third least important golf tournament to actually watch this week. Listen, you can gamble on it. I got a bunch of losers on my card. I'm really excited to get hyped about how these guys are going to completely ruin my Sunday afternoon for what seems like probably the ninth week Sunday this year.
Yeah, I mean, we've been close, so close, lots of second places. And this is such a tournament where fucking jabronis win. Like, Spahn hit it fucking 200-1. Corey Connors was the only tournament he can win. Fucking Matt Kuchar plays well here. Figure it out. Like, what a weird fucking tournament. But look, it is what it is. Like you said, we can bet on it. I'm more excited to talk about Liv on the next show. But I don't know if there's anything to be gained to learn this week, but maybe we can see if anybody looks like shit going into the Masters. Maybe that'll help eliminate some of the placement bets for the Masters, because I think there's five guys who would. Maybe five.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about on BK's show that I've started to put together kind of like an outright pool of, there's three tiers. There's guys that are firmly in it right now. And I tried to basically classify it like this, as I feel like after the final play of the Masters drops and we see the one, we're like, okay, like that was pretty obvious. Right. Like, you know, and if you just look closely enough, saw what they were doing coming in, like it shouldn't have been a surprise. So I have that tier of players, which is really only like eight guys that I can just kind of build like narratives and stories in my head about, like, okay, like for example, like I understand I don't like Joaquin Niemann's number at all, but considering how well he has been playing this year, if he ends up just proving everybody wrong, winning the Masters, it'd be like, well, that was obvious. Like, he's been playing great golf, like stuff like that is what I'm.
Yeah, he topped 20 last year on his first appearance. I got him at. He's my only pre-bet at the Masters, and I got him at like 75.
Okay. So there's those guys, which is like eight guys. Then I have another like eight or nine guys that are on the radar that would surprise me in the moment, but upon reflection, probably wouldn't be a surprise that I'm considering betting. And then I have like 35, 40 guys that I'm just like, absolutely no shot, not would even consider betting at this point, which has actually kind of helped whittle down the field a little bit, which is kind of nice. Cause like I've gone into a lot of these Masters of just saying, like, you know, like a guy like Victor or Jason be like, all right, maybe if the number drifted a little bit here, I'll end up betting it. Like, me just crossing some of these guys off already from the jump is pretty liberating. But I mean, there are a couple guys at the top of this field, which is probably why I feel like I'm not all that excited about it. There's a lot of top players in this field that are just struggling right now that I'm really only looking for just a scouting report of how these guys are actually doing to maybe either give me some hope that things could turn around or consider, okay, maybe I'll consider for a top 20, top 10. You know, we'll see what happens.
I think it was Bamford who I heard say, and it makes sense. I didn't even think about it like this. Like, if you go back through the past winners, other than Decky, they've all been 16 or one or shorter over the past few years. Like, it's been Scotty, Rob.
I mean, what fucking, 20, since 2020?
Yeah, so DJ.
Yeah, so it's only three of four then, because Tiger was like 25-1. Before that was Patrick Reed at like 70-1.
Yeah, okay.
Sergio was like 45 to 1. Willow was 65 to 1. So it's really been that 4-year period, but that's kind of what I'm talking about. Like DJ, not a surprise at all.
No.
Scotty, not a surprise at all. Rom, not a surprise at all. Hideki.
Hideki was a surprise.
But it was a surprise, but he was at least hitting the ball really good.
Yeah, exactly.
So like that fits like my on the radar, probably should have seen it coming, not super obvious right now. Like that would be that type of guy. So I'm trying to, between now and I've only have one bet in for the Masters at this point. That's the only thing I
got. What do you got?
So between now and then I'll add some more guys, but we're on top of the I bet Sahith at 70. No?
Okay.
He finished 9th last year.
I know.
He's been hitting the ball great.
I don't know. I can't see it in my mind's eye, right? I just can't see it.
Okay. I feel like he has been one of the top 7 players in the PGA Tour this year.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't disagree with that.
And to me, that's enough to put you in consideration, considering he had a close call at Phoenix, almost won the Century Tournament Champions of Kapalua, which has a big crossover of guys who do well that golf course to here, play really well at the Players. He has done enough for me at big time events to say, okay, I can buy you being in the mix at the Masters, given how you're hitting the ball, what you're good at, the fact that you finished top 10 last year anyways.
Yeah.
To me, that qualified.
Yes.
I know. All right. Well, you want to talk about Valero?
So, hold on. Am I, he's only won a fourth. Is the Fortinet is the one? I'm trying to look it up. Okay. He's only the Fortinet, right?
He won the Fortinet last fall. So technically, when we're going to do the game next weekend,
he's won. Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah. You know who doesn't, though? Cam Young doesn't fit still.
Yeah. Young stinks. Never won a golf tournament.
All right. Okay. All right. So I've.
Peter. Xander is not winning the Masters. Shut up.
You know, that would be one. Well, you heard me on Andy's show.
So once again, it's always background noise when I'm listening to stuff while I'm working, so I miss big things. Refresh my memory.
I do like the fact that everybody thinks Xander stinks right now. And the fact that he blew Riviera, the fact that he blew the Players, and everybody is just saying that Xander is terrible, but if you look at what he's been doing at so far this season, tee to green, it's been amazing. The driver is back. This is his 7th Masters, which is a level jump. It's a level jump. And I'm looking ahead of the forecast, and it looks like it's going to be, which is good for us because we're going, warm temperatures, no wind. Seems like pretty good Xander conditions to put up a good score.
So Dieter asks, why no Xander level? So for me, it's always... he just never steps up and hits the shot he needs to hit. It's all look, he's consistent as fuck, and that's great. That's great. But I just don't think he, I don't know, man. He doesn't have that dog in him. He just doesn't.
Okay. And we would live stream while we're at the Masters, but they would throw us in a black ops prison waterboards because you're not allowed to have cell phones on the golf course. So we will not be doing any live streaming.
We can
at least during the tournament.
We can do live stream after. We can do live streaming from the Hooters, the only restaurant in the golf.
We are not going to Hooters while we're there. All right.
We don't want to be gone?
No. I have absolutely no desire to go hang out at his RV. So all right. Why don't we get to Valero then?
Of course, you're listening to the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, but we are home to over 20 gambling podcasts, and they are all completely free. This week's featured show is the MLB Gambling Podcast. Baseball is back, and so is the MLB crew with their free Daily Picks podcast. If you aren't already subscribed to MLB Gambling Podcast, I don't know what you're waiting for. And Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. You bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes, plus tons of other social features that give you the feel of a betting social network, plus lower VIG and fully customizable odds, plus they handle the payment side of things so you never have to chase anybody down for money. Group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. Plus, you get cash back every time you bet against your friends and other users. Download Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com. That's KUTT. And use promo code SGPN for 10% deposit bonus. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing app in the industry. You got your pick'em game where you pick your favorite players. We'll have higher or lower stat in this week's game or match. You can win 100 times your money in a single day. Pick between 2 and 5 players to build your pick'em parlay. You also make them rival picks where you pick 2 players against each other, which ones could have more birdies, hit more greens, et cetera, et cetera. I love Underdog Fantasy. Sad that my favorite part of it left Florida. So if you still have the chance to take advantage of the pick'em, it's something I dearly miss. So go take advantage of it for me. So sign up today with promo code GOLFSGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit UnderdogFantasy.com and find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with my promo code GOLFSGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as the instant pick'em special. Must be 18 plus and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700. Or visit www.ncpgambling.org. And Hall of Fame bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with the scroll stats and data. Enter any parlay ideas at Hall of Fame bets, a revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate. For any bet to learn which players are hot and which hands have value. So stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 researchers with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame.
So, all right, top of the board. We've already kind of made mention of this.
Yeah.
I haven't bet anybody under 40-1 at this tournament. And the reason why is, other than a handful of players, it's just completely uninspiring. And a lot of guys probably are just more searching for stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, let me ask you a question. Rory has been wildly inconsistent so far this year, but he has had a perchance of winning the week before a major to get everybody excited.
Yeah.
Any realm of possibility he does that this week, or are you just completely just
sure?
Sure.
I mean, this is always a possibility. I mean, sure, it's a possibility, right? I mean, I'm not betting it. Like, I mean, look, I think he's going to win here before he wins next week. Fuck do I know? You know what I mean? Like, it's Rory. So I don't know. He does have a tendency to do that. How many times has he won before? Maybe.
Well, he's won Quail twice.
Head, right?
He's won the Canadian Open twice.
Oh, so I had 3 off the top of my head. You already have 4.
And he won the Scottish Open last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, that would be so fucking on brand.
It would be.
I'd always be scared if he doesn't win. If he doesn't win, maybe I just got to start looking at Rory at Augusta. But no, I'm not fucking betting Rory. No, I'm not betting.
Okay. All right. I may mention on Andy's show that he asked me, what do I want to see out of Rory this week? I just want to kind of see him look like he's got some semblance, some control and confidence with the ball striking. Like, no more of this hitting an iron shot and the club immediately goes down to the side or just kind of, you know, leaning this way and this way. I haven't seen a lot of that out of Rory this spring, which makes me feel like he doesn't really know where things
are. The slump shoulders is what gets me with him. Slump shoulders. I can deal with the fucking and then like whatever with the club. It's the after the shot and the like the 30 feet of walking with your shoulders slumped and your head down looking like fucking Linus from Charlie Brown dragging your blanket to the green. Like, I can deal without that.
Okay.
That is not confidence as well.
All right. So, all right. I think we talked a little bit, or, you know, I think we talked enough about Rory in this range. So other guys in here, here's some guys that have some stuff to prove based on how they've been playing lately.
No.
Spieth, Homa, Morikawa, and Fleetwood all playing pretty terrible.
Yeah.
Any of those, I guess, of those four, who's the most likeliest to maybe turn around this week?
I guess Spieth because he's in Texas, but I have no faith in any of them.
Okay.
None.
I mean, I guess that would be the default answer.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm taking the low hanging fruit, right? Like, I'm not digging into it, but like, knee jerk reaction, just Spieth. Morikawa, there's going to be wind. Thank you. No. Homa just doesn't look right. Like, I follow him around a little bit at the players and it's something, I don't know, something's off. Yeah. So I guess Spieth by default.
Okay. I've never released this hot take into public, but I'm going to do it right now. So two prominent guys on the player committee who has been right in the mix of, you know, the SSG negotiations and meeting with Yasser is Jordan Spieth and Patrick Cantlay. And both of them have been playing pretty terrible so far this spring. And I remember last year, a big knock against Rory was he was spending way too much time in the boardroom with Jay trying to hammer out all these details. You wonder if maybe that's been a little bit too much of a distraction with all this stuff going on that's been taking a little bit from this game. Because Spieth has just been looking pretty bad.
Just like bad. Like nothing's working. Like usually if the driver's not working, he's scrambling his ass off and he's fucking chipping in and draining 60-foot pots. And like none of that shit is working.
Yeah. None of it. So I don't have any appetite for those guys. I guess the guys I had appetite for 30-1 or less were just in a vacuum, Ludvig, outright price regardless.
Yeah. Ludvig.
Hideki has been playing really good. And Fitzpatrick. Why you start talking about Fitzpatrick?
So you put that fucking stupid goddamn earworm in about the weights. And then I like looked at what he did at TPC. I looked at pretty that. Good. I looked at it pretty long, man. And look, my card is wide the fuck open. The lowest bet guy I have is 60 because I got to talk to you about a couple guys other than that. I looked at that one long and had, but you know me, I hate rooting for him. I hate it. But I like money more. So I really looked long and hard at that one. 25, like, I feel like it's a fucking really good number for him.
I mean, I saw one as high as I think 30.
Once again, I'm in Florida, so I have one option.
Let me ask a general question. I mean, they have a really nice hotel and resort at the golf course. Has the Fitzpatrick's vacation?
I don't know.
You
know,
he's going to get Marriott at TPC San Antonio at some point in his life. Because if that's the case, I taking out a second mortgage and betting it all on him.
God, I can't believe that fucking narrative came through.
I know. It's maybe one of the worst things that's ever happened in the history of golf.
I'm so upset. I'm still upset.
Yeah, I looked hard at Fitzpatrick as well. Technically, I could add him just because I got a lot of bums on my card.
Yeah, I got nothing but bums.
But I feel like first timer at this place, so I guess we want to knock him for that. It is. I just feel like the overall vibe at some of these non-designated events this year has been just these guys who, you know, have a lot of brand name behind them.
Yeah.
Just aren't really looking at this week. They're looking ahead.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we've been seeing a lot of the results we've been seeing. And it seems like that's been ever the case ever since post June 6th last year, where just the oxygen's been taken out of the room. And I just end up just looking down the card of guys who just have a little bit more to prove. And I stuck with that. I said, okay, who do I think has actually something to play for the most part? There's a couple exceptions I made. Well, who's just been playing good golf that maybe just a little bit under the radar that really could use a win? And I feel like with Fitzpatrick, you know, even though I am tempted because something has changed, I always love betting a guy if I see a variable change. Kind of like with Finau last week, you know, if I knew that he switched up the driver and got that fixed, like I probably would have been a little higher on him. You know, he drove the ball great. You know, same thing with Fitzpatrick this week. Now he's driving the ball great. But I did end up betting him. I kind of just stuck to my gun saying, okay, I'm going to bet basically losers this week.
I like it. I like it.
And that's my card.
I'm with you. I like it.
All right.
So the other two guys, so Goober got steamed before I paid attention, which is annoying because I've been sniffing around Goober for a little bit now. Top 20s here, matchups here, coming in good form. Looks like a Texan. Absolutely.
Okay. All right, so I was
between Billy Ho has got steamed to fucking death. Like I think the shortest number I looked around and the shortest number I could find on locals were like 35.
Okay. 30. All right. So let me ask you, did you bet either or no?
No. Fuck off, Pete. Asshole.
Okay. Are you considering betting either?
Yeah, so I kind of want to bet Goober.
Okay. So we could tag team this. So that we just, for the good of the show, we both have a piece of this, so we can.
Let's go. I'll bet Goober.
So I, but no, I.
Oh, by the way, for anybody new, Goober is Harris English.
No, so I bet Harris English, which means you would get Billy Horschel in this little agreement here.
No, because then I get FOMO. Fuck that. No shot.
Okay, so you want to bet Harris English with me?
Yeah, we'll just go in together. So we can pitch on
something. So I end up betting Horschel positional, which means lock of the century Horschel's going to win this thing. And Harris English outright. I just like how Harris English has been playing lately. You just mentioned it. Hitting the ball really good. The ball striking has been really good. I mean, like, what? Four straight top 20 finishes, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, it reminds me, based on his profile, what he's been doing this year, reminds me a lot of that 2021 season where he won twice. Oh, yeah. And with Horschel, it just seems a little bit too obvious. And
did he steal our money? He stole our money.
He screwed us a lot.
In the really long playoff. Who the hell? We had like a long shot. Who was it? Do you remember?
That might have been pre-show. But at Wyndham, we had him and he boned us. I haven't win him again last year, and he boned us.
Yeah.
So I was not on him at Memorial when he won. I was not on him at Match Play when he won. So, but look, I mean, I am notoriously known for breaking ties for two guys and picking the wrong guy and only been in position for the other one and get my consolation prize. So I would advise the audience, because I bet Harris English, to just hammer Horschel this week. Because nothing I love more than a popular narrative that I'm not on ends up cashing for everybody.
It was Hickok. We both had Hickok. I just looked it up. It was
I did not have Hickok.
I thought we had Hickok.
No. Was it Would I ever bet Kramer Hickok in any situation?
That's fair.
Yeah. That's fair. Okay.
That was a pre-show.
No, that was 2021 Travelers.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't pre-show. Fuck, we've been doing this for a minute.
We've been doing this since 2020 Wyndham. There's a lot more gray hair on my head at this point.
I'm starting to look like that, like the old wolf with the fucking gray in the beard.
What, you mean the wolf from Pulp Fiction?
Oh, listen, I love the wolf.
Yeah, there you go. Man. Kind of look a little bit like Harvey Keitel.
Okay. I can do Harvey. Harvey's the man, dude. He's still fucking kicking. He's still, dude, he was good in that movie. Sucked overall, but he was good in The Irishman.
He was good. Yeah, he was good as the, what was his name? The head of the Philadelphia mob boss.
Yeah, Angelo Bruno.
Yeah. I like how they always, like, for every guy they showed, they always stopped the camera and just said, got his brains blown out in 1992. Yeah. That was a nice touch.
Except half that. That movie was so historically inaccurate.
I know.
It's so, like, as somebody who's, like, I guess, like a mob aficionado, right? Like, it was very frustrating as shit to watch. Because Sheeran never did any of that shit. Like,
no, it was complete BS, the story. I thought it was just an entertaining movie.
Yeah, I when I rewatched it the second time, I took my, like, I hate how inaccurate this is off, and I watched, other than the De Niro CGI stomp out scene, still probably horrible. One of the roughest things I've ever had to watch. But,
yeah. In real life, that shopkeeper would have kicked his ass for sure.
Oh, so bad. That was so bad. All right,
let's get back to talking about some more losers. Okay, so I bet Harris English.
Okay, I'm going to join you. I like Google.
Okay, yeah. Horschel's a positional for me. I thought about Norn as well, but you know what? That's going to be positional too. That just seems
he was like, storming on Sunday.
He was doing pretty good, but again, like I guess my with Norin, if we thought it was crazy to bet him 30-1 at Houston in a way worse field than this field is,
yeah.
Like, why would you then just bet him again? If you felt that way last week, why are you betting him at 31 this week in a better field? So,
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I get it. Okay, I'm never a Norin guy, so
yeah. Well, let's talk about a guy who you're also a never guy who's a loser. If Jaeger, notorious loser Jaeger, can win last week, Christian Bazane, who can also win a tournament. So this is my guy. This is my loser. You have plenty of losers.
I know it's your guy.
Always talk about.
Listen, we all got our own losers. Yeah. I get it.
But listen,
but to be fair, we saw him in person up in your neck of the woods. We went to the PGA and I don't know. He didn't impress me.
No, he is Mr. Top 40.
Yeah.
But listen, I tried to just go for guys that I don't think he's in the Masters, so he has something to play for. Hitting the ball really good pretty much all year.
He's good iron. Top 50?
No, I don't think he is. He's gotta be. I don't think he's in the Masters. So okay. I think it's Horschel.
Billy Ho's not in the Masters, right?
Horschel's not in the Masters. Norn is not in the Masters. Bazane, who's not in the Masters. So yeah, those guys have something to play for.
Interesting.
And I just like how he's been playing so far this year. When the winds kick up, he's pretty good around the green. So I like that. And I just tried to look for guys who are trending with their irons that has been in the mix at towards the top of the leaderboards this year that I think maybe can get it done.
Okay.
All right. What are losers you got?
So I'm never this guy. This is the first time I'm betting this guy. Just because he irritated me because everybody on Twitter really liked him because he had his girlfriend, his caddy in the Corn Ferry or some bullshit. According to you, he only plays well in coastal courses with
honeymoon locations, which technically, you know, if you're looking for a low budget honeymoon location, the JW Marriott at TPC San Antonio at the Lazy River might be a good option for you.
In Texas, you're in the short road to divorce. You're taking your fucking newlywed wife to Texas. No offense, Cameron. So Akshay, dude, he looked pretty good over the weekend. The numbers looked all right. Tee to green. Maybe you take it as like a learning experience. What he did on, was it 8? I remember when Cam mushed him. But what?
Well, I feel like we got to bring Cam in for this since we're talking about Akshay because that is the.
I don't know if he's paying attention.
Cam's not even paying attention right now. He's missing this moment here.
That's fine. We can throw on at the end of the show. Yeah, but Akshay at 60. I thought that was fun.
Okay. All right. I also bet Akshay at 65, though. But whatever. 65, 60 doesn't matter. But listen, I know.
Now we're on two of the same guys. That's fine.
I offered
you. You don't want my stink on you.
I offered you the opportunity to go with Horschel. And so we have our bases covered here.
I won't do it.
You know I love to hit a top 20 on the guy who wins.
I told you I can't bet Billy Horschel anymore because, listen, I'd ruin it for everybody else because whenever I bet money on him, he immediately loses. Whenever I bet money against him, he crushes whatever match I bet.
Well, then let me actually ask you a question then. Don't you hate really public narratives coming through?
Yeah.
Okay, so the public, super public donkey chalk narrative that Billy Horschel playing really good, wants to get back to the Masters, really excited for it. Don't you want to mush it with your stink anyways?
Oh.
The sabotage bet?
I'm going to bet Billy Horschel. I'm betting Billy Horschel.
I love it.
Billy Ho.
There you go. All right. Well, I also bet Akshay just playing really good. I was impressed with what I saw last week at Houston, despite the fact of Cam's indiscretions ruining a win for him. I'm willing to go back to him this week.
What's more shocking than the mush is the fact that he didn't realize he mushed him.
Oh, man. Cam, you want to come on for this? Are you listening?
Is he paying attention now?
He is paying attention. Here he is.
Oh, now you're listen. Your name 5 minutes ago.
No. So let's stop for a second. You're gonna have to preface what you did and what exactly you said. And you're going to let the public decide. You can defend it, but you have to present the facts in the case.
Okay. I said exactly that I love Akshay, which I do. I've always loved Akshay. Since he won me my...
All right, I don't need the adjective. Say what you said. Just say what you said.
I said, no, I love Akshay. I wish I was on him with you. And it just happened to be after he got into solo first. And then it just happened to be after that. He just happened to implode.
That didn't cause the text.
It's all coincidence. Mushing does not exist.
Oh my God. We're never going to cash another bet on this podcast. The gambling gods are listening, Cam.
Mushing exists. Mushing does not
fucking
exist.
Reason.
It's all coincidence. And I'm tired of this narrative that we can only talk shit about our golfers because talking shit doesn't mush them, but talking good about them does mush them. And that's ridiculous. Yes. I can't even create Twitter content. Because when I post a video about a golfer who's on the top of the leaderboard, I get texts saying, take that shit down. And
it
makes no sense. And it doesn't exist in any other gambling community besides this gambling.
What are you fucking out of your mind? Of course it exists.
It doesn't.
Every other gambling community.
If the Rangers are ahead 5-0, I could I could say, oh, yeah, great. You know, this is awesome. And no one would say anything. But if I
if you texted that to me, it's different posting something like that on Twitter. But if the Bruins are up 3-0 in a playoff game, which I'm pretty sure you fucking did last year, and they went on to lose the goddamn series. Yeah, you can mush. It's the texting is the most intimate level of mushing.
Now, like, I will say that after – so Matt – I love Matt. Matt and I are friends. But he – I didn't realize that he legitimately thought that I was doing that on purpose to mush him. That is different. If you specifically talk about a golfer to someone, like you said, like a text – and say, oh yeah, they're gonna win the whole tournament after they, you know, hit a 20-foot birdie and get in solo first or whatever. If you go specifically text them, that is kind of messed up, I will say. But like tweeting like, hell yeah, awesome putt, Akshay, that's not mushing.
But you text it.
But that's not what you really said. Well, see, okay, here's where the line is blurred, okay?
Okay.
It's okay, at least in my book, it is okay to talk about things that have happened, not things that are currently like how somebody is in their current state or things that can happen. That is where you start running, you know, blurring the lines a little bit. So, yeah, but so for me personally, as the voice of reason on this show, and I talk a little bit of this on BK show.
So Matt got really mad at me because of that text, which was 100% genuine. Did not mean to specifically mush Akshay. I legitimately love Akshay
versus Murder One,
and I wanted to have a bet on Akshay because I wanted him to win. But Matt got really mad and left our group
chat
because I said this, and I texted him after the tournament was over because after he left, I took that personally, and I was like, and I saw, then I was going at him. I was like trying to mush him. Now,
well, that, I don't know if that's the right approach, Cam.
No, okay, yeah, it was petty of me, I will admit. But I texted him after, and I was like, hey, are you like legitimately mad at me? He's like, yeah, you texted me just to mush me. And I was like, no, I did not.
Oh, he thought you did it on purpose.
Yeah, he thought I did it on purpose.
Didn't know you're a moron.
Yes. I didn't do it on purpose. I actually like Akshay. Now, then I wanted to make a point. So I mushed. I have had a 55-1 Stefan Jaeger ticket.
So oh, you got a Jaeger ticket too?
Oh, I had a Jaeger
man, ticket. Man, the plot.
So then I started trying to mush Jaeger. And even though I had a ticket and he still won, it doesn't exist.
No, so here's the deal. Once you had committed this sin, you going out of your way to try to mush your own golfer, the gambling gods were never going to allow that to happen. They just weren't.
Well, they did. I won. I have all the money in my account right now.
Yeah, you did. And you just mushed one of your buddy's golfers for it. That's all.
All right. The example that I always come back to was what did you text to Brian when Harmon was on the back nine at the U.S. Open?
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the Open?
Yeah. He got tons of texts like that. Like, I know. Brian is much more popular than us, and he got a lot of texts like that. And he was tweeting about Scotty coming back and beating. No, it wasn't Scotty, but like he had like three of the top four guys last week and ended up losing.
Yeah, that was bad. Yeah, it was all over.
Yeah, the players.
The player. Okay, yeah. It was the players. And he went back and he blamed his tweets about Scotty coming back and winning and beating all his guys. He blamed his tweet for him losing.
Right.
Which it makes no sense. It doesn't exist.
So here's the thing. And I explained this with BK is that, Cam, you're right. This mushing doesn't really exist.
Absolutely.
What we do is betting golf is so traumatic and so volatile that we have to blame some sort of mystical force to make us feel better and rationalize how something horrible has happened to us to keep us betting next week. Because otherwise, if you get kicked in the nuts, like I have every single week betting Keegan and Sam Berzelius, who a fucking amateur, and having three of the four guys, the players, and seeing that blow, and then having my dad's retirement party ruined the next week of the Valspar by Mackenzie fucking Hughes, I have to rationalize it by something either you say or that someone else has say, just to make myself feel better, to keep myself going. Because otherwise, I would quit and probably just bet, I don't know, NASCAR or something. So that is why that's it serves a purpose to make us feel better at the end of the day. And it's not actually real.
You're absolutely right. I just, what really bothers me about it is the fact that we can say like, oh, Stefan, you suck.
Yeah.
But we can't say,
that's called the reverse mush. You're trying to help the golfer.
I know. That's what bothered me is reverse mushing. What,
trying to help the golfer versus mushing the golfer?
No, just like positive vibes instead of negative vibes.
Yeah. So that's your generational divide, right? Between mine and yours. There was the carrot or the stick. My generation from coaches and everybody else got the stick. No fucking carrot. You suck. Do a lap. Like, not, oh, hey, you can get it back better next time, Johnny. No, sometimes you need the stick. You don't need the carrot. And sometimes these guys in the gambling universe.
I get what you're saying. I guess it can just come across as like a little too negative sometimes, as opposed to like, because I know what you're, that's a good analogy there. It's like coaching versus, but it's also, it like you coaching a golfer that is on your screen.
I love how you were just about to deep dive.
Yelling at a ref for a bad call. Like,
All right, we got to get back to the learn. That was a good Discord right there. Thank you, Cam.
Great Cam minute.
Shout out. That was Cam 15 minutes, not Cam minute.
All right, bye, buddy. Love
all right, thank you. All right, let's get back to talking about more losers. Valero. So where do we leave off? Akshay. All right, so we both are on Akshay.
Akshay's a loser, yeah.
Okay, and we decided that even though we both said mushing isn't really real, when you bet Billy Horschel, apparently bad things happen. So you're going to sabotage.
I never agreed that mushing isn't real. I think mushing is very fucking real.
Okay, so you're going to purposely sabotage Billy Horschel this week, everybody.
Correct.
Okay.
And I guess we'll see. This is it. We're going to do our science experiment. If Billy Horschel wins, then mushing doesn't exist. If Billy Horschel doesn't win, mushing exists. Fact, end of story.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about some more losers we bet. Anybody else under 100-1 you bet?
I was thinking, so I did Lee, just because I did him last week and he was in good form. Plays good in Texas in my brain. I know it's only on one course. Don't care. A bunch of losers. I like Cage Lee.
Okay. All right. I also bet Cage Lee at 121, but he's under 100 right now. I mean, if you take out what happened to the players, which is kind of a bad excuse, but Tee Green's been playing great. So
fun.
Two top 10 finishes there. Winner in Texas. Yep. That would
two-time winner in Texas.
Yeah, I don't think he's in the Masters yet, so that would fit. Nope. Some of the criteria I'm looking for. So
What do you think about Højgaard?
No. I get it. I'm trying.
I haven't bet him yet. He's on my question mark side of my paper.
I'm trying not to just assume. Well, I kind of like this guy. He's just going to magically turn her around at this thing. He's in the Masters next week.
Yeah.
So nothing really to play for. And I'm just done trying to just get too cute with this. I'm saying, well, he's just going to magically turn around this week, especially in an age where I feel like these events just don't really matter a whole lot in the grand scheme of things. And I think these players know it.
Yeah.
So I'm out on him. I did bet big loser. A guy who goes sideways and has really cost me a lot of money last couple of tournaments and I think positionals. I did think those 75-1 on Keith Mitchell.
Oh, Jesus.
Was Christ, a little unfair. Dude.
Stop betting him.
Okay. I mean,
dude, that meltdown was legitimately one of the worst we've seen.
It was bad. I will give you that, but he's been hitting the ball great. He's got a couple good finishes here, not in the Masters. And I don't know.
I saw that visor in person. It's offensive. He was stuck in a bush. He was very flabbergasted when he was stuck in a bush. We were 3 feet from him. He hit it. Oh, I gave you the running update. And then he hit it three feet in front of him into another bush.
Yeah, and I literally just need him to finish, I think, top 40 at like plus 175. And I think he was like second place at the time. And he finished like DFL for the week.
Not great. Yeah.
But I think he played well in Mexico, played well at Cognizant, played well here. 75-1 for a guy hitting the ball pretty good on a ball strikers golf course where guys can show up with good ball striking and just can't putt a lick and win. That's basically Keith Mitchell at this point. So, and then also,
most looking 32-year-old he's ever seen.
And then also, you know, another Corey Connors type that hits the ball great, can't putt. He's also old as dirt, too. Lucas Glover, 90-1. Good form.
Oh, I don't hate that. I was looking at him. Okay. All right, talk to me a little bit about him.
Oh, I mean, listen, like, you know, he's hitting
the Sweaty McGee. I relate to that poor bastard so much when he was sweating through his fucking clothes on those tournaments he was winning. Bro, as a Florida golfer, like, did have to change my shirt at the turn. Like, yeah.
That is true. I mean, it fits the blueprint of just impeccable ball striker. You can't putt a lick. He's got a couple of top 10 finishes here. And if the wind does kick up, he's really good around the green. Good bunker player, too.
Okay.
So 9-1 on Lucas Glover.
I don't hate it.
I'll take that. And then bunch of bums that I bet as well. I already talked about Cage Lee, 120-1. I went back to, I got suckered back into Sam Ryder.
Oh, he can, he fucking got 11th at Valspar.
I know. Yeah. Finish. He's coming off a good finish.
Ooh,
so, all right. So there's that with him. I got suckered back into Sam Ryder, 100-1. I just like how his iron play's been, and he finished third here last year. So why not?
Yeah, I remember that.
Andrew Novak, 150-1, continues to hit the ball pretty well.
I'm back on Novak, too.
Okay. Ryan Moore, 170-1. TD Green's been awesome the last three tournaments.
Ryan Moore stinks. Okay.
Ryan Moore stinks, but he's been all right. Let me go over what he's done the last three tournaments, TD Green.
I know what he's done. Like,
do you really know?
He's Ryan Moore. Yeah, he stinks.
Okay.
Novak, by the way, Novak is just a guy now that like I am like pot committed to, and I'm going to have to bat every fucking tournament.
That's a recipe for disaster.
That's fucking terrifying.
All right. Ryan Moore gained 7 strokes of players, 11 of Valspar, 6 of Houston Open.
Yeah. He's not keeping
up. Okay. For 170-1.
Yeah, listen, that's fine. Listen, it's 170. I'm not really shitting. Right. I'm just telling you.
Okay. Nate Lashley, 220-1.
You're such a whore for that
guy. I am, but you know what? BK is on this with me, and I feel good about that. Just hitting the ball really good. He's won on the PGA Tour before. Not a great track record of Valera, but he's got an 18th place finish, so he gives me a little hope upside. And then look, I poo-pooed this guy.
Slut for Lashley Shermer.
I poo-poo this guy who is an alma mater of our producer here a couple weeks ago.
Amen.
But I look back at the data, he's playing pretty good golf. Hit the ball really good last week, didn't putt all that great. Texas guy, Chandler Phillips, 270-1. I thought that was a high price for a guy who has been hitting the ball really good tee to green his last like five or so tournaments. Gained 5 strokes in Mexico, 4 at Cognizant. Was only 1 round before he withdrew, but he had a really good opening round. Gained 4.6 at Valspar, gained our 2.3 last week at Houston. So I've been largely unimpressed by a lot of the Korn Ferry graduates. He's been actually a guy who's shown some consistency. All so right. I'll at 271, I figure I would take a little bit on that.
All right, so I get a Korn Ferry guy, graduate last year. He has been fucking on fire since the Classic. Max Grierson?
Yep.
Grierson?
Ned Ryerson?
Yeah, exactly. That's went through my brain. That's why I fucked it up. I immediately pictured him talking to Bill Murray.
Needle Nose Ned?
Greiserman, right? Dude, he's fucking
Max Greiserman.
He's 150-1, just fucking top 10 at Houston. Tee to green almost 5 strokes, 33rd at the Valspar. Fucking Puerto Rico, I don't have this, you know, we don't have it, but strokes gained total still over 6. And yeah, dude, I mean, fucking why not? He's definitely trending. And this is a tournament where fucking losers win. He's long off the tee, which seems to matter a little more here lately. Yeah, man, fucking yeah. 150-1. I'd love that.
Okay. All right.
Once again, never seen. I don't think I've seen. I might have seen him take a swing on Sunday, but I can't be sure.
They showed a couple putts of him on Sunday. Yeah. That's usually what they do. So, all right. I don't have anything else. Right, I think he spent half the time. I think he spent half the time talking about mushing and half the time talking about Bolero. So
that's fine. Yeah. It's all relative. But I want to run through my bums and you tell me why they suck.
Okay.
I'm going back to Sheamus. at 150. He was showing form until he got that Keith Mitchell stink on him on Sunday. He was fine.
You know, I considered Sheamus for the outright this week, so I don't mind that. He's been playing good.
He's been playing good. And then if he wasn't, you know how it goes when you golf with somebody. Keith Mitchell's hitting off the fucking planet, hitting out of the parking lot on the first hole, and fucking, and Sheamus goes sideways. You know what I mean? So he got that. He got that Mitchell stink on. I'm going back to Matthias Schmid.
Okay.
He drew that back nine. It was a 5-1 or a 4.5-1 top 20 I had. And I'm going like T22 last week. I'm going back to the well on him. And then I like this toasty cat, man. I don't know shit about him. I feel like he aggravates other players. I'm 130-1, a guy who was in the running to win the tournament last week. You know me, I love recent form. So 130-1 for I don't even know where he's from. What country is he from?
He's from Argentina.
Ah, all right, cool. All right, I love those guys. Those are all my guys down there. I always end up with those
guys. Are they? What other golfers from Argentina do you
like? Not Argentina, but South America in general.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, they're all on Live, so that's why you like them.
I know. That's how that's how I know they're all my guys, because they all leave.
Yeah. Except for Johnny Vegas and Camilo Villegas did not take the checks for whatever reason. The only South Americans. The
dumbest thing they've ever fucking done. They should have absolutely taken
it. Vegas should. I don't understand why Vegas didn't take checks. He played it in a couple of Saudi internationals. And
he had fucking like Saudi golf on his neck before Liv even was a thing.
Yeah. I'm not sure why he didn't take a contract. He would fit pretty good on Torquay.
He would have. That would have been great.
Yeah. All right. All right, I got nothing else.
Nah, I'll come out with a full cat. I'll do my positions and shit like that tonight.
Will you actually release the card early so you don't aggravate our producer?
Probably not.
Okay, great.
I'm just being honest.
All right, Cam, you're going to have to start just writing this stuff down on the show to prevent our fans from getting really annoyed that we don't put a card out until 9 p.m. on Wednesday when all the...
All right. I'll do it in the fucking morning, all right? I'll do it in the morning.
Thank you.
I'll just leave off the first round leaders and I'll put... post them on Twitter. That's what I did last week. Because it takes me a little longer to do my first round leaders. I don't like to pull the trigger on those until late. And now I'm looking at like my three ball stuff because that's my new crack. So I'll just give out my positionals, matchups, and outrights. And then I'll just post all the shit on Twitter.
Okay. All right. So we will take a short break. And then we will talk about Live Miami. And I'm very excited to talk about some really terrible golf course design in a little bit.
Yeah, well, listen, it's not about the golf design. It's about the caliber of players we're going to get to see and, of course, that we're somewhat familiar with. And, yeah, man, I'm excited for you to talk to me about it so we can walk through the betting card.
Okay. All right. So I'll see you shortly in a little bit.
See you in a little bit. Later.